It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Just like you, turn to Wonderslim for convenient, balanced meals, shakes, bars, and, oh yes, snacks. Wonderslim eliminates the
guest. All right. What's going on, everybody? Hope you're having a great weekend. It is Sunday night, March 12th, 2023. Yeah, it's an hour later than I expected. I'm surprised how much that our time difference affects us. I mean, the one good thing about it is spring is around the corner. It gets darker late at night, you know, an hour later. So I don't mind it. I don't mind losing the hour's sleep, especially when you sometimes take a cat nap every day. You seem like the hour doesn't really factor all that much. But I want to welcome you all. And as I posted for our live audience, shout out to you as always, we are going to go 60 minutes tonight. So rather than me banter for 5-10 minutes as an intro, let's get right into it. For our regulars, you already know how this works. For those that are new, I am live and I show up with an empty piece of paper. Whatever you want to talk about tonight, wrestling, non-wrestling, anything that's on your mind. You got to be in the live chat to do it. It doesn't cost you anything. Just if you have a question you want me to answer, just write in capital letters the word question so it stands out. If you have a comment that you want me to share with everyone, just write comment and then write whatever you want to write. And as always, super chats are not required, but they are appreciated and they definitely help keep Don Tony in business and will always get immediate attention. VIP priority, and I already see that two have come in right before we went live, so let's open up with them, and then we could segue with further discussion. And why do I not see the comments? All right, well, I can't see it on the screen. I don't know why, but let me see if I could take. Okay, here we go. Chris Cutrer with the 1999 Super Chat. And basically, he is talking about the bloodline, and he wants to know, do I think the bloodline angle with Sami Zayn would have gone as far as it did and as hot as it did if Vince was still in creative? Seems too coincidental that they ended up with their biggest and hottest angle in years with Vince out of power and creative. I'll be honest with you. It's really hard to tell. I mean, look at it like this. We have a storyline that's been going on for a lot longer than people realize. Sami Zayn wanting to be in the bloodline was about 4 months, 3 to 4 months before Vince McMahon stepped down from creative. In fact, I think it was sometime in May that he wanted to really be part of the bloodline, had to prove himself, and he became an honorary Uso. Well, until he got the shirt. I think he got the shirt after Vince stepped down. But let me put it like this. You know, something that's been put out there, and it doesn't get a lot of attention because it's not sexy. You know, people want to keep the controversy. They want to keep, you know, incorrect things alive because it keeps conversation going. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn beating the Usos at WrestleMania was always the end game. When Cody Rhodes first came back, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania was always the end game. Sure, when you go to point A to point B, there are diversions. There are things you can't predict. And let's not take away all the credit that Sami Zayn deserves. Sami Zayn has taken the opportunity and run with it. He's grabbed it by the balls. Paul Heyman with that interview recently saying, look, we gave Sami Zayn crumbs, and he turned it into something major. The only thing that I could say is that maybe Sami Zayn would not have been given as much time or opportunity to let his character develop. I don't know if they would have condoned getting the other wrestlers to break character a little bit, because Sami Zayn got some of those guys to break character a little bit. And it was refreshing. It was, you know, you feel like Sami Zayn legit. Listen, the time that the Usos and Roman Reigns broke for a few seconds, you know what that showed people? That Sami Zayn really is, you know, that lovable, funny guy that even in a storyline, these guys personally can't help but to find something funny and good about it. And listen, you look at Roman Reigns for the last bunch of years. What was the biggest problem that WWE had with Roman Reigns the last 3+ years? Getting someone majorly over as a babyface and him over as a heel. How many times did Roman Reigns feud with someone and they couldn't get him over as this hardcore heel? You know, and the opposite. Before the bloodline, I'm talking about just bloodline right now. Before that, when Roman Reigns was supposed to be the quintessential babyface, no matter who they put him up with, they couldn't get him over as this hardcore babyface. They would just throw person after person after person. And now with the bloodline, we got to give those guys credit. So honestly, I don't know how much would have been changed. You know, but I will say this. You know, Vince McMahon definitely deserves criticism. Just like Vince Russo deserves criticism. Just like Tony Khan deserves criticism. Just like Bruce Pritchard deserves criticism. No one is perfect. And a lot of people, hey, we even compare it to baseball. You know, you bat 300 in your career for a very long time, there is a good chance you might make it to the Hall of Fame. And when you take a step back and think about it, batting 300 means that you failed 7 times out of 10. So, I mean, it's not the greatest analogy. My point is that, yeah, you're going to throw things out that aren't going to work. But let's be honest, all of those guys that I talked about have thrown things out there that have worked. And to make it sound like Vince McMahon has done nothing but a garbage shit job over the last couple of years before he resigned is a little bit ignorant to say, or a little bit naive. I think naive might be the better word. Was everything cake and ice cream? No. Was everything great? No. Were there a lot of things? Listen, I tried my hardest to enjoy Bearcat. I tried my hardest to enjoy the fucking hockey helmet that Cross was wearing. I don't know what the mentality was. I don't know. But, you know, this idea at that time that Vince McMahon was trying to sabotage everything that Triple H created, I think you realize now Vince McMahon gives a fuck about money and power, you know, money and success. And the idea of sabotaging his own product to, like, cause his son to get a heart attack, come on. So I'm not saying that you said that. All I'm saying is that, you know, Vince has come up with a lot of great stuff. Would he have given Sammy enough opportunity? That I'm not sure. There's no yes or no answer here. But, hey, it could have developed in other ways. Look at the Yes Movement. Look at the Yes Movement. The Yes Movement gave us a little bit of hope that, hey, if the fans really do speak out and, you know, show that this is who they want. Look at Kofi. Kofi, look at his moment. Sure, the way he lost to Brock Lesnar was awful. Absolutely awful. I compared Daniel Bryan and Kofi in a lot of ways. You know, Kofi was obviously different because of the history of black wrestlers and how they were utilized or, you know, not given that opportunity. That was a very special moment also. But think about Daniel Bryan. You know, what does Daniel Bryan and Kofi both have in common? They had a point where they just got squashed in a matter of seconds that pissed the fans off, pissed a lot of wrestlers off, pissed the guys off. But they just kept being professional about it. You know, with Kofi, it was to end his reign. For Daniel Bryan, it was to begin the rise to the Yes Movement. So, no, I don't think in any way that would have sabotage the bloodline. It's really hard. There's really no answer to tell what the bloodline would look like right now if Vince was still in creative. And, you know, I'm not stupid. And I've said this since August of last year. Vince has 84% voting power. Triple H has been around Vince for decades. A lot of people in WWE do look up to Vince. You know, hey, people don't want to admit that there are a lot of wrestlers in WWE that look up to Vince. If you think Vince just sat in the sidelines and did not put any input at all, you're crazy. And that's not illegal. It might piss off some people on social media, but that's not illegal. It is what it is. So, but thank you for that, Chris. Thank you. All right. $10 spot from Ronnie C. Did I see the Twitter war that Raj Giri and QT Marshall had over the weekend? If so, my thoughts. Yes, I did see some of it. To give everybody a short version of this, Raj Giri used to own Wrestling Inc., the website. Sold it, I think, about a year ago. He's been in, you know, involved in wrestling writing and websites for over 20 years. I remember Raj decades ago. He voiced his displeasure of QT Marshall in the last 5 minutes of Dynamite. QT Marshall, seeing the following that Raj Giri has, went after him. And they fought. You know, at the end of the day, things calmed down. My honest opinion on it is this. Number one, Raj Giri, I don't know him personally, but from what I've seen, he's a good guy. He ain't one to try to stir up controversy. Number two, I've always said it. No matter how much I don't like QT Marshall as a character on TV, I do not take away the fact that that guy does a boatload behind the scenes. I said it on Wednesday, too. Him being involved down the very end, you know, I just, that's, no. No, I walked into this room and prepared for this show. I'm not going to hide how I feel simply because, as he said to Raj Giri, that some wrestlers' opportunities were taken away based on some people with loud mouths online that have a big following. Well, not for nothing, sir, but there is a big following of that follow you that will take away the voice and the opportunity of some people online that speak out. You know, it goes both ways. You know, the excuse that people put their bodies on the line, so you should not, you know, try to take away someone's livelihood. You know, that's just, I stay out of this stuff, man. I voice my opinions, but I don't try to get controversial. Plus, you know, you see what goes on Twitter. You know, people have to type it. And they have to repost it. And they have to reword it. I'm not saying that Raj did this, but everybody's got to fucking write 320 characters, and now even more with Elon Musk at the helm. You know, they got to be noticed. And if you're going to do that, be prepared, especially if you do have a big following. Me, I do my talking here. It's just opinions. I express my opinions. I don't go on these vendettas to see, you know, Fuego del Sol pulled from TV or this person. I don't do any of that stuff. If I like something, I praise it. If I don't like something, I will criticize it. One thing I never fucking do. I never fucking do. And that's probably why I don't get into wars anymore. One thing that I never do is I never tell you how to feel. You never, ever, ever hear out of my mouth, don't follow that. Don't follow this person. This person's a, I give you my opinion, how I feel. But I respect anybody that feels completely different. I welcome it. I always say that. And that's the difference with a lot of people online. You know, you can have an opinion. But when you push a narrative that this had, because this is white, you know, hey, everybody, look, this is black. Oh, yeah, let's, we don't want to get caught. Those are probably two wrong colors. This is red. This is red. Everyone, this is fucking red. I don't care. This is fucking red. That's what some people do. They convince you that it's one way and you have to follow it as well. Look at the Vince haterade. It's a perfect example of it. Convincing you that Vince is back in Gorilla doing creative and running the whole thing. Good, I hope he's running the whole fucking thing. Because if he's running it right now, overall, I still fucking love what I'm watching on TV. Yeah, there's a little bit of caca here and there. But if he is, if he's never left, good. Good, I'm enjoying fucking wrestling right now quite a bit. Good, good, fine. All right. Thank you, William M. DT is the real deal and wanted a realist on YouTube. Listen, look at how many people are tuning in. If I piss in the wind, if I pull down my pants and start shitting on everything, yeah, I probably would have 10 times the audience. I'd rather just give you my opinion and you take it how you want. I try to keep things real. I try to keep things straight up. You know, we've been having some fun with the MLW situation. Do you know, I got a really nasty email yesterday. Don't want to say who it is. It's not anybody that works directly in MLW's management, but it's someone who's definitely committed in MLW and just basically told me, like, you know, why don't you just shut the fuck up with your points? And I responded back. I said, what? The only thing that I put out there is that Reels pulled advertising over the last 2 weeks, and it happened right after the court ruled against MLW, and now MLW is making all these wild claims in court. In my opinion, I think Reels, and this is what I told this person, I'm going to talk about it tomorrow on the show, Reels is probably, I mean, yeah, Reels is looking at MLW like fucking Matt Riddle was looking at all these fucking whack jobs, these dumpster fires that he used to be involved with. Oh, fucking, thank God I'm away from that fucking dumpster fire. I think Reels can't wait until those 10 weeks are up. They realize that we didn't just get a pro wrestling promotion. We got a fucking dumpster fire attached to it as well. So happy. This, and plus, Peacock just did a deal with Reels. Let me explain something, everyone out there. And this is not any bash on MLW. Take note that I never criticized MLW's product. That's another thing that I told. I never criticized the product. I never said it sucked. All I said was, as far as the business side goes, Reels is an independent channel. All right. I want everybody to understand this. You don't hear the business side of things most of the time with a lot of places. Why do you think so many people are shocked that WWE has not negotiated TV rights yet with Fox? We've been explaining about it for months, why this can't happen while this is going on. How many months ago did I say that if they don't work out a sale by June around that time, that they have to pull the sale so they could work on the TV deals? It's not rocket science, but nobody focuses on that. Then when it happens, everybody acts shocked and surprised. But here's the thing with Reels. Reels is an independent channel. Reels live, On Patrol Live became their biggest show. And it only gets a couple hundred thousand viewers. Reels does not make the money you think that they do. When Reels worked out the deal with Peacock, who happens to have WWE, you think Reels wants to tell Peacock, listen, 10 p.m. on Tuesdays, we got to black it out because we got wrestling also. You know, once they're getting opportunities and they want to grow and expand and you got this dumpster fire in court, and the ratings have been horrible. It's not the wrestler's fault. They pulled their advertising for the 2 weeks in a row. Has anybody reported that? No. No. Their whole main audience demographic, they pulled all the ads. There wasn't one this weekend on Patrol Live. And I got an email basically telling me, why don't you keep your fucking points to yourself? And, you know, I'll talk about it more tomorrow. But again, you know, people just, it is what it is, everyone. All right. Stephen Chambers, any predictions who Jade's opponent will be on Dynamite? He says Taya Valkyrie. Yeah, that was who I went with on Wednesday. Taya Valkyrie is from Canada. For those that don't know, Jade Cargill has an open challenge Wednesday on Dynamite to face a Canadian female wrestler. She wants to face the top. So Taya Valkyrie, is she the top of the food chain for Canadians women's wrestling right now? Maybe not at the very top, but not far from it. Impressive name to put in the record books. Taya Valkyrie is a professional. Taya Valkyrie, if she works an indie show says, I want you to job to fucking, Wilma Walmart. Hey, we got this indie wrestler from our neighborhood. Her name is Wilma. She works at Walmart for full time, but she also wrestles a little bit too. She knows what she's doing in the ring, but we really need to, you know, give her a little bit of a push. We're working out something with, so could you put over Wilma Walmart? You know, she would do it. It's business. It's work. It's an opportunity. Don't take it personal. I mean, obviously AEW is going to pay you comfortably. We don't even know if it's going to be Taya Valkyrie, but I personally think Taya Valkyrie is a perfect choice. Plus, some of her deals are done. She's a free agent. So I think Taya Valkyrie, yeah, I like the idea. I definitely like the idea. GKO, do I see any surprise results happening at WrestleMania? Ones I may not expect, such as Charlotte retaining or Bray losing to Lashley. Sprite Zero, by the way, everyone. Love it. Sprite Zero. Problem is, when you drink it at night, it makes you even more thirsty because of the citric acid. I drank 5 cans of it last night. I don't know what the fuck happened when I woke up this morning. I felt awful. All right. Surprises at WrestleMania. I think we will have surprise returns. I think we will have possibly some turns themselves. I think Omos possibly turning babyface. And even though they have visited Omos versus Lashley in the past, I think Bobby Lashley being part of the Hurt Business, once again, that could be solidified by WrestleMania. As far as somebody winning that we don't spot, listen, right now, Bray Wyatt losing, I'm not against that. I'm not against it. I will tell you this. Tomorrow on Raw, they are doing something big with Bray Wyatt and Bobby Lashley. And it was interesting because last week, if you remember Monday show, I said that I hope they don't do anything on SmackDown this past Friday, and they didn't. They didn't listen to me. I just happened to be thinking on the same wavelength. But tomorrow, something big's going down. I'm not feeling it. It feels awfully random. Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Lashley may be better than what we think. Could we get an Uncle Howdy reveal? Absolutely. It could be something simple. This is what could happen. Bray Wyatt is taking on Bobby Lashley. Bray Wyatt is technically a heel by default because of Uncle Howdy's chicken shit behavior. But the fans are still into the whole fact that he is back and doing what he's doing. I think it could be as simple as Bobby Lashley getting the best of Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy gets involved in the match and Bobby Lashley unmasks Uncle Howdy to be revealed, Bo Dallas, whoever, Vincent, whoever you want to choose. But I think Bobby Lashley could win. I'm not giving that prediction, but I wouldn't necessarily call that an upset. As far as other matches being an upset, you know, Logan Paul over Seth Rollins, I would not discount that. I think in the end, Seth Rollins has to come out on top. I don't think his career gets derailed if he loses to Logan Paul. But other than that, I don't really, you know, I don't see anything yet. Now, I will say this. Cheap plug for our Patreon family this Tuesday. Not Podcast Forbidden Door, but Patreon Forbidden Door goes down. Kevin Castle will be joining me. First time in a couple of years, we will be talking WrestleMania. We will be doing some minor Q&A. The details are posted on Patreon, and you know, we will definitely get into some discussion. But as far as surprises, you know, maybe our conversation might lead to something else. And if any light bulbs go off in my head during that, I will share with all of you next week. So patreon.com/DonTony if anybody's interested. A few of you on YouTube who are channel members asked me, because they always get the Tuesday Patreon show also. If Patreons get ad-free episodes of everything we do here on YouTube, it's reciprocal. Our YouTube channel members get what I do on Tuesdays. Yes. The show will be available for YouTube channel members as well. It will not be uploaded to YouTube. I seriously don't think it's going to be uploaded to DonTony.com. This is something for our Patreon family. It's not trying to single anybody out, but they've been pushing this for a while, and our audience is this big over there. So our discussion is going to be in front of a very, very small, intimate crowd. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But the problem with putting it online is because then you lead to hundreds of people saying, oh, you've got to bring the show back, or you got to do this. None of us got to do nothing. You know what I mean? So, like, we're doing this for one night, and who knows in the future. But the problem is when you put it out there for the masses, then you get this belief that, this is one of the reasons why this hasn't happened sooner, because of things like that, because some people don't take it as just a one night thing. In fact, I had to tell people on Patreon today, I'm like, please, don't ask, when are you going to do another one? Or why don't you just go? We're not doing that. This ain't going to be like a boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever you want to choose, relationship, broken up. And, everybody wants to see the couple back together. We're not doing that. All right. Rocky Red with a question. Do I like the new Major League Baseball rules, bigger bases, no defensive shifts, runner on second and extra innings, pitch clock? I don't mind the bigger bases. I don't mind them. I hate the fact that you can't do defensive shifts. They were done in the 50s. Just didn't happen often. I hate putting someone at second base in extra innings. You're given something that you didn't earn. I hate it. Pitch clock, I don't mind it that much, but I almost feel like if somebody goes over it, it's discretion of the umpire. Listen, let me put it this way. How much time do you truly think is going to be saved because of a pitch clock? A couple of minutes. People always say like, why don't you just cut back on the advertising? Why don't you just cut back between the half innings, by an extra minute? Yeah, they could do all that, but then they lose money. So honestly, I hate all these fucking rules. Slowly, Major League Baseball is turning me not into a fan. I'm slowly losing my fandomhood for baseball. Football, listen, I have changed my views on the kneeling. When it first happened and the way it was so politically biased, I just lost my love for being a football fan. As ridiculous as that sounds. Now I totally agree with it. I understand it and I don't discredit it. But you got to do more to bring me back. And it hasn't happened. Slowly, baseball is turning me into a hater. And if people don't want to tune in because it's a three-hour game, oh, fucking well. Oh, well. I don't like the rules. I don't like them at all. A little bit here, a little bit there, but out of all of them, the runner on second base in extra innings is the worst. I fucking hate that. One of my favorite baseball games of all time is July 4th, 1985, the Atlanta Braves versus the New York Mets. I have the entire game on video. I think it was 16-13 it ended up. I don't remember the exact. I haven't watched it in ages from beginning to end. They had a whole bunch of rain delays. And the game ended at like 4:30 in the morning on July 4th. And Atlanta did the fireworks show at like 4:30 in the morning, woke up the whole fucking neighborhood. But watching that game, for anybody that's longtime baseball fans, that's the infamous Rick Camp home run that he hit. And that is one of my favorite games of all time. And look at how long that game was, 7 hours? I mean, nobody wants to see a 7-hour game. But I never, ever turned off a game. If a game is exciting, why do you want it to end 15 minutes early? I don't like it. All right. Bash 8. What do I think of Valentina Feroz apologizing for liking a video about trans? Well, let me put it this way. I don't know all the details behind it, but apparently some political person put on a wig, and I don't know if he was making fun of trans or if he was calling them out. I know there's been a lot of political discussion about these transgender, I don't even know what you call it. Like, people are just going out there and they're like putting on performances. And honestly, I stay away from stuff like that. I have my opinions. I respect other people's opinions. Valentina Feroz liking something, that's her opinion. That's her right. Whether I agree with it or disagree with it is another thing. What Valentina Feroz is now understanding very, very quickly is that you cannot like anything that is politically incorrect or is somewhat controversial. or you better be prepared to defend yourself. Just deleting it and apologizing, what does that do? I like Valentina Feroz. No problem with her whatsoever. And what she did, I don't really have an issue with either. The issue I have is her apologizing and deleting it. Because you're deleting it because people got upset, not because you changed your view. See, like the Colin Kaepernick stuff that I was mentioning earlier. You know, I used to say a lot of things about it back in the day, and I lost viewers because I would talk about politics way too much. As time went on, my opinion changed, and I understood and talked about it. But my point is that I didn't change my view because it pissed people off. I changed my view because my viewpoint changed. And I don't think Valentina Feroz's viewpoint changed. She just deleted and apologized because she pissed off some people, and I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. Hey, look at that. Wow, look at that. They popped up back on the screen. It's magic. I thought it was deleted earlier, but yeah, Chris Cutra, I had to acknowledge you from earlier. Thank you, Chris. And once again, thank you, Ronnie C. There you go. Much love to you as well. We talked about Raj and QT Marshall. Dean Parks with Johnny with a 10 spot. I don't block or mute anyone online. I don't mind seeing the nonsense. But some people saying that the Ray Dom story is boring. They care more for WWE to announce the match than paying attention to the story. Johnny, if those people get you mad, if you think it's foolish, those are the people you should either politely stay away from or just look for a different topic. Listen, without naming names, there's a lot of people that I'm friends with online that say some outrageously, what's the right way to put it? Outrageously conflicting viewpoints that I have. And when I see it, I just like look for something else. Like, believe me, I muted a lot of people on Twitter. Best thing I ever did, mute people. If someone really gets under your skin and just whines over and over, mute them. You're not doing anything wrong by muting someone. You just don't want to see that negative. You don't want it to bog you down. But, you know, the Rey Mysterio-Dominic storyline has not been boring, in my opinion. There are some people, listen, you got to understand something. And, you know, again, I do blame some of this about the current culture of wrestling. AEW has contributed to this. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but with AEW, there's got to be a lot of crackerjack surprises. There's got to be a lot of lights off. There's got to be a lot of, you know, and people get used to that. They expect it almost every week. That's why when the fucking Bullet Club sign showed up on the screen, people almost had a heart attack. They didn't even know. They could have had fucking, you know, midget Mukula that's in the Bullet Club that nobody ever heard of could have come out there and people would have been losing their shit. They just saw the logo like, it's the surprise. Oh my God, we're getting something that we weren't expecting to get. And then what happens? Juice Robinson comes out, who's fucking already signed to AEW. He's already signed to AEW. But you see, the surprise. You could have put the letter X on the screen. You could have put a question mark on the screen. You could have put spit on the screen. And if something would have popped up on the screen that they weren't expecting, everyone would have been like, So this is the mentality. Oh, we got to get a surprise. We got to get a swerve. We got to get this. We got to get that. People don't want to wait anymore. Immediate. Sometimes it drags too much. The Sheamus Drew thing, we talked about that. You believe there are people out there that still don't understand that all they did was just milk it for an extra week? There are podcasters out there that have 10 times the viewers that I do that actually went on rants over the weekend. WWE, what the fuck? Why do you have to insist that it's a one-on-one fucking against Gunther at fucking WrestleMania? What the fuck? Why the fuck can you just leave it as a three-way match? What the fuck? And it's not any of my friends that we've done Forbidden Doors. Please, I'm not impersonating them. But that's what I saw it online. A few people brought it to my attention. Like, could you believe that? Somebody said to me, do you really believe that so-and-so thinks that it's not going to be a three-way? I said, oh, no. I said, of course that person knows it's going to be a three-way. But just to get all the naive wrestling fans out there who also think that WWE's changing it. Oh, fucking Vince. Fucking Vince. You're fucking Vince. It's got to be a one-on-one. What the fuck? What the fuck? Why do you got to change this? Why do you got to fucking do this? Why the MP? They're just stalling a week. That's all they're doing. But you got to stay away from those people, man. People out there act that way. Ignore them. Find something else to talk about. You know, go look at videos of other things. You know, like people acted stupid in Walmart. Police chases. People doing stupid things on the street. Drunk people. Cats. You know, like, there's so many things to look at. I would just stay away from those people. Let me tell you something. The more I stay away from those people, the more fun I have. The more fun I have. And, yeah, you can't get bogged down from those people. So, William M., when do we see the legend killer Randy Orton back in WWE? I wish I knew. He's definitely feeling a lot better. He's definitely worked hard to return. I'll be honest with you. And I brought this up before. Matt Riddle's about to return. Listen, I could say this now because it's not news anymore. Matt Riddle was supposed to return in February in New York, Brooklyn. Believe me, because when I was conversing with Misha, and I still talk to her a little bit here and there, she's a very, very cool chick. Believe me, very, very cool. Matt Riddle found a winner. Found a winner with her. She, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. But at that time, you know, she said to me, she goes, look, you know, he's supposed to return in Brooklyn. And if he returns in Brooklyn, you know, I was going to go. My wife was going to come with me. We were going to get backstage passes. I don't know if I was going to get a press pass, but we were going to, you know, say hi and, you know, and that's it. You know, we weren't going out for dinner after or anything. I was just going to go to the show and say hi. But because of the Bloodline storyline being as good as it's been and being so focused, they didn't want to add outside elements to the storyline so close to WrestleMania. That's why he hasn't returned. He's got to get revenge on Solo Sikoa, period. Just like Johnny Gargano with Grayson Waller. For 2 weeks, and I didn't say this on Wednesday, and I was kind of pissed off that I forgot to say it on Wednesday, but I'll say it here now. What pissed me off for the last 2 weeks about Johnny Gargano and Grayson Waller was not just the fact that a lot of people out there refused to say that idea because they wanted to clickbait and milk that Shawn Michaels might be returning to the ring. You look at thumbnails for a lot of podcasts out there and you will see the clickbait up until that night, Shawn Michaels returning to the ring. They all knew it was going to be Grayson Waller. And what sucks about that is people are more concerned about views and clickbait than being excited as a wrestling fan. Instead of saying to your viewers or listeners or even on social media, wow, fucking, it makes sense. It's got to be Johnny Gargano. He doesn't have a match at WrestleMania. He doesn't have a feud right now. That would be fucking awesome. He comes back, you know, he finished the story, you know, stand and deliver. He comes back. He hugged Shawn Michaels the night that he left WWE to go have a kid. And Grayson Waller took him out. Instead of being excited for 2 weeks and showing that excitement, instead of putting it out there, where it was more, put it this way, it was more important to clickbait that Shawn Michaels might return to the ring, then for your viewers, listeners, followers to say, holy shit, you were right. It was Grayson Waller. Instead of hyping that up for 2 weeks in excitement, kept it quiet. So that's the thing that sucks more than anything. Instead of being excited about something that is going to happen, you intentionally don't bring it up because something else will get you more attention. And that's one of the biggest problems right now. But as far as getting back to Riddle, Riddle getting revenge on Solo Sikoa is always part of the plan. Problem is, you don't want to incorporate it right now. Could he show at WrestleMania? Absolutely. I hope Riddle and Randy Orton return as a tag team for a little while. They don't necessarily have to go for titles, but them reforming a tag team, they could get some revenge on the Usos once the Usos no longer have belts. See, that's the thing that was a big problem. When Randy Orton and Riddle got hot and, you know, they were going to feud with the Usos, the problem is that the results were going to end up being one-sided most of the time because they weren't taking the belts off the Usos. Now, if there's no titles on the line, now you could get some wins on the opposite side. So I hope Randy Orton does return sooner than later. The back issue was very, very serious. But, you know, believe me when I tell you, if Randy Orton was not returning, by now we would have had some type of an update somewhere, somehow. You know, basically given, you know what I mean? Like, even with Big E, you know, this past week was the one-year anniversary of Big E's neck injury. And, you know, they said it a year ago that it wasn't going to be until after WrestleMania that they would reevaluate, you know, where it stands. You know, people just seem to ignore that point and like, oh my God, you know, I hope he could be back for WrestleMania. And, you know that's not physically possible. But we knew pretty much what was going on with Randy Orton. Everybody is still in the dark. And that's Randy Orton's decision more than anything. So the fact that they have been so quiet about his current status tells me he's returning soon. I really believe Randy Orton is returning soon. So, Gruss, why do you think he can't do the RKO anymore? Has he said it? Has any specialist said that? You know, I mean, I know why you're saying it. It makes sense. You think about his body and what happened. I get it. But unless we see that he can't do it anymore, or if he can't do it anymore. Look, remember Hogan when he started getting all the surgeries? When he got the spinal stimulator put in, that was it. People didn't believe me. I have the spinal stimulator still inside me. I have in my spine the same exact Boston Scientific spinal stimulator that Hulk Hogan had put in, implanted years ago. And the thing is that there's a battery. There are leads. Now, sure, I could do back bumps right now, and the leads are not going to suddenly shift where I start going. That's not going to happen. But I got a battery pack, you know, in my back, inside. And that battery is lodged all the way in, but you're not supposed to, like, keep, like, landing with all your weight on your back. Once you get that put in, you know, you got to be careful. And when he had that put in, you know, I knew that it was over, you know, as far as what him taking back bumps. And he hasn't taken one since. But even after certain time, look at the Iron Sheik. After some time, you knew the Iron Sheik wasn't going to be able to do anything other than walk. You know, so Matt Riddle, until you see it with your own eyes or you hear it with your own ears, don't immediately think that he can't do it. So, all right. Randy Orton will not be in the Bloodline. The Bloodline is, remember when I used the term tsunami? That's not the greatest term to use, but the Bloodline are going to suffer a tsunami. They're going to be, like, shocked, like it's going to hit them all at once. I think we are going to see that segment, probably on a SmackDown. Who knows? Maybe on Raw, but we're going to see a segment on TV where the Bloodline are all in the back, and it's going to be total silence. And Paul Heyman is going to just look around in shock. I think everybody is going to be in shock, like, what the fuck happened? We went from having everything to nothing. We're going to get that moment. So adding people to it? No, no, no. It's got to come to an end, everyone. Things come to an end. This is a movie. At some point, the movie ends. You might get part two, part three, part four, but the movie still ends. WWE, the Bloodline, that aspect of the movie ends. You don't just, because we don't want it to end, oh, let's add an additional chapter to it. Why? Why not? That's okay. All right. Indigo, what are my thoughts on how AEW misused Wardlow and many other wrestlers who we fans see potential in? Much love. You know, you got to look at AEW. And this is not a criticism, and I've said this so many times over the years, and I know other people have said it also, but the number one primary goal in AEW is not about maximizing every dollar, every, you know, ratings, every little thing. It's as long as we do decent and as long as we don't lose boatloads of money and as long as we keep the networks happy, what we see on TV reflects what Tony Khan and a lot of people in the back like. The fans don't get to dictate as much as you think. If that was the case, Ricky Starks would not be feuding with the Jericho Appreciation Society for 6 weeks, and now with Juice Robinson. Ricky Starks would be holding some gold right now. All right, you see Bryan Danielson versus MJF. I said this last week. The Iron Man match was beautiful. It was a masterpiece, and somebody pointed out to me over the weekend, like, DT, I never really hear you ever use the term masterpiece. I don't. Because very few things in wrestling have been mastered. That was. But it feels like I missed the first half of the movie. Like, the feud was a couple of weeks, and where's the initial match? Where's the rematch? Where's this leading to? It's what they believe that they like, and they will give the fans just enough, and then they pull back on it. And they think YouTube is the pacifier, that somebody, oh, you like this person so much, they have 60 matches on AEW YouTube. That's not enough for me, because I'm not stupid. Revenue is TV, advertising, and pay-per-view. And if somebody gets 60 matches on YouTube and only gets 3 on TV, that tells me that you don't have the same faith. That you don't, that's not your cup of tea. They more focus on the people they enjoy working with, or they enjoy interacting with, or they enjoy seeing. Not necessarily does. Look at the FTR stuff. Let's see a month from now. You know, look at Hobbs. I mean, they did the Book of Hobbs how many months ago? And then he fucking disappeared. And now he's back because QT Marshall helps him win it. Oh, no. Well, now look, long-term booking. Oh, remember when he helped QT Marshall a long time ago? Just because of the storyline doesn't mean that you do it simply because of the storyline you started. You write something and it sucks. Hey, this storyline was dropped because it sucked. Not, oh, we started it. We must finish it. So with Wardlow and others, they don't come across as people. Has Wardlow ever been considered a pillar in AEW? Do you ever feel like he's one of the founding pillars in AEW? No. I think in the back of their mind, they think at the end of the day, Wardlow is going to be a WWE superstar. That's how I look at it. We can't look at certain people in the same logic. You got to look at AEW different than WWE. And again, I'm not knocking AEW, but the reasons why people are pushed in WWE, in many cases, is different than the reason why people are pushed or not pushed in AEW. So, we will see Adam Cole back in the ring, I believe, the last week in March. I think in what? A little more than 2 weeks from now? I think they announced the debut of that all Elite Access, or whatever that is. I think that same night, he returns to the ring. So, you know, that's when we will see him. He will be back in the ring shortly, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Very, very happy that Adam Cole is going to be back in the ring. Michael is asking my favorite moment or match of Rey Mysterio's career. Halloween Havoc against Eddie Guerrero, when he wore the purple with all the question marks. Was it the Joker? I don't follow Batman, so I don't care. But the match he had at Halloween Havoc against Eddie Guerrero is my favorite. The one that my favorite that I ever saw live was, and I brought this up the other day, Big Ass Extreme Bash. Seeing him live and in person was amazing. And to think that that was 28 years ago. I got to see Rey Mysterio live 28 years ago. The motherfucker was not even legal to drink yet. 28 years ago. Makes me feel super old. Those are two. Phantom, thank you, Unfall. The Phantom. He was doing the Phantom. See, I was completely wrong with mine. The Phantom. So that's my favorites. Those are my two favorites. How many more years do I think AJ Styles has. Hustle is a habit is asking that. I think AJ Styles still has 5 or 6. I think AJ Styles, listen, he's not going to be the focal point. He's not going to have the matches that he had from 10 years ago. I'm sure once in a while he could pull one out. Maybe, you know, for a big enough show, and that's not selfish. That's smart. You know, I think he's got a good 5-6 years left still, and maybe even more. Maybe even more. So, remember, didn't Randy Orton recently say he wants to wrestle till he's 50? You know, think about the injury and think about that comment, and he hasn't changed his mind. Well, what the fuck was I thinking? So that could still happen. I think AJ Styles still has many years left. Many years left. The Riddler. Oh, I got to take it back. No. It was the Phantom. It was the Phantom. Multiple people say, whoever the fuck, you know who it was. Halloween Havoc against Eddie. Do I even need to say what he was wearing? All right. Do I like backyard wrestling? Asks Tristan Sloan. I've been to some. I enjoyed wrestling with my friends when I was young. Until I got knocked out a few times. I'm not going to ever be one to say, don't try this at home. But I honestly feel that, you know, you do need to get proper training. Believe me. When I went to VPW's wrestling school, you know, and I know how to do some moves already. Very few. But when I went and I started to have to learn, you know, the basics from running the ropes to taking loads of back bumps and this and that and fucking throwing up in white buckets, I realized why that was being done. And it wasn't just this. You got to go to school. You got to go to school. If you want to have a backyard event and people have been trained to a degree and you want to do it in your yard with your friends, just be really careful. Be really careful. Because more times than not, people do get hurt. And getting hurt is not cool. Getting hurt isn't going to get you a piece of ass, male or female. You know, it's going to make you look stupid in the end. So, Gruss asks, are Conan and Duck Ray Mysterio in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely, he is. He is. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Look, yesterday I said it should either be Conan or Edge, or both. And we did find out yesterday that Conan is inducting Rey Mysterio. When WWE approached Rey about going in the Hall of Fame, even though he's still an active wrestler, he asked to have Conan induct him. And WWE said yes. So Conan will be inducting Rey Mysterio, which is cool. You know, when you look back when I, you know, when I thought about the last 24 hours, I thought of Jerry Lawler. And he's home from the hospital. And by the way, we're going to start wrapping this up. We got about 8 minutes left. Jerry Lawler just got home in Memphis from the stroke. When people thought he was going to be out of the hospital and be able to go home in 4 days, remember that? It made no sense at all because of, you know, the risk of flying and everything else. He just got to Memphis like a day or two ago. But I always remember when Jerry Lawler went into the Hall of Fame, and he wanted Lance Russell to induct him. And WWE said, no, we'll let you have William Shatner instead. And I fucking love William Shatner. But now if Jerry Lawler was going in WWE Hall of Fame now and Lance Russell was, you know, with us, he would put Jerry Lawler in. I love that they're letting Conan put him in. Conan's not a bad person. Do I need to remind everybody my history with Conan? I'm not bringing it up because some weirdo out there always seems to tell Conan, do you believe this motherfucker brought it up again? Like, I don't do it because of that. I don't need props or accolades. I know what I did. I'm very happy with what I did, and I'm happy that he's doing well. I fucking love it. I have a very, very fond appreciation for Conan. The fact that he gets to put Ray in, it's not just special for Ray, but that's special for Conan as well. You know, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. And I'm very, very happy that WWE obliged. And Conan will do the right thing. Conan will make Rey Mysterio extremely proud. And he's done that a million times over the years. Kevin Milwaukee. I am like Greg the Hammer Valentine matches. The longer you go, the better you get. I know. The problem is we do so many shows during the week, I can't you know, people out there like other podcasters too. And I always feel like, you know, I don't want anybody to feel like, and here's another thing too. If I go 2-3 hours a show, I don't expect everyone to tune into every minute. And I find myself repeating things 2-3 times a week because people didn't listen to yesterday's show or last Monday's show or last Wednesday's show. So we try to spread it out even. But I appreciate that, though. Believe me, not every show goes short. I mean, we do go 2 hours still once in a while, and we go 90 minutes. I'm sure Tuesday's going to be 2 hours. But, you know, we try to keep it fresh so it's just enough, and everybody has a good time. Nobody has to fucking change their daily schedule because, oh, DT recorded 3 hours today. So we spread it out evenly, so... I enjoyed the Latino World Order. I actually liked the LWO back at that time. In fact, no joke, for quite a while now, I've been wanting to go on eBay and get an LWO shirt again. There's a few that always are on eBay. Brand new, never used, Latino World Order. I've been wanting to get one. I think I'm going to have to get something for Rey out of appreciation. I mean, I have some Rey Mysterio stuff already, but not like, you know, tribute stuff. So... might have to get something for Ray for the backdrop. So, I hate losing the hour too, William. It's technically 8 o'clock right now here, but it's really 9 o'clock. And tomorrow we're getting a nor'eastern. If you don't know what a nor'eastern is, it's simple English. Very shitty weather. So I got to get up a little bit earlier than usual. So you know tomorrow's going to be kind of a fucked up day. All right. Come Tuesday. Yes, come Tuesday. Listen, I'm happy that we turn the clock ahead an hour because that means it gets darker later. In fact, just so you know, I'm going on vacation. I will be leaving either late Thursday, April 6th, or early Friday morning, April 7th, and I'm coming home Monday. But I'm coming home Monday at like 7 o'clock at night. I usually come home Sunday nights. But because it's the day after Easter, and she don't have to work, and because it gets dark at 7:30 by then, I'm coming home at 4 o'clock. I won't be home until about 7. I mean, I'm gonna go on the road at 4. But the reason why I'm doing that is we get another half a day, and it'll still be daylight. I hate driving at nighttime. I hate driving at nighttime. I just did too many whack jobs on the road. And too many whack jobs now that smoke weed on the road. I can't tell you how many times I brought this up before. I'm driving down my neighborhood or on the highway or something. And because I have the vents on in my car, suddenly my car smells like babanya. Like my wife's like, what is that? And I'm like, you don't know what that is? It's fucking weed. And like, if you watch like On Patrol Live, or if you watch when people get pulled over and they're accused of having marijuana where they're like, bro, I don't have any drugs. I don't smoke weed. Bro, I smell it. Believe me, I tell you, a lot of times these people are not lying. It comes through the vents. My car smells like Cheech and Chong sometimes. And I don't smoke weed. I don't do drugs. Oh, yeah, I'll be safe during the storm. I mean, my office is 5 minutes away. So I could skitch to work if I want to. So I just... what sucks about it is that, you know, you get bad weather, you got to worry about customers having claims, and, you know, because the weather's going to be awful during the afternoon tomorrow, that means tomorrow morning I'm going to have 20 people in my office, so I'm going to have to get there a little earlier. There's a few people with pending cancellations, plus one of my insurance companies, UPC, is going out of business. They got fucked in Florida with all the storms, so now they're literally going out of business in 2 weeks, and I got to find new companies for a lot of people. So, you know, a lot of people don't understand. I do insurance. That's my business. Believe me, if doing the shows was my income, trust me, I probably, put it this way, I probably would be wearing like black, blank Hanes t-shirts. I don't think you would see posters in the back. You probably would just see wallpaper. You probably wouldn't have like this microphone and stuff. I probably have one of those headsets, you know. Do you know yesterday, because I played the Liv Morgan clip from the Knicks game, the Knicks took all my advertising revenue. Not Super Chats. Super Chats, they can't take away. But all the ads that they were going to put on the show for yesterday, they all went to the Knicks because I showed the Liv Morgan thing. And basically they said to me, like, trim it out. I'm like, I'm not trimming it out. We had a fun discussion. All right, we'll leave it in and the Knicks get your money. That happens more than you realize. That's why I'll leave you with this before we go. Take note of a lot of podcasters out there that never, ever show a video clip. They're not lazy. In many cases, they're very smart. They will show you a screenshot. They'll show you a GIF file, but they never show you a video clip because this is what happens. And it's all algorithm. There's no individual person trying to screw. Trust me, no one at the New York Knicks was like, fuck D'Antoni. It's algorithm. It's all data computerized. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people still think that Aubrey Edwards hunts podcasters on YouTube, tries to get them shut down. It's not true. But people don't want to hear that. Shh, we want to fucking shit on her. Shh, shut up. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, but Aubrey's not. Shut up. We want to need a reason to crap on her. I'm not the biggest Aubrey Edwards fan. I don't even know if I am an Aubrey Edwards fan. She works hard behind the scenes. That didn't sound right, I know, in some people's eyes, but that was sincere. But she ain't singling out nobody. You know what I always wanted to get? One of those clip-on microphones. They actually have a really good one. A friend of mine that doesn't do a wrestling podcast, he does like cemetery videos. He's got one, and sometimes when he live streams from his house, he puts the clip on, and I'm like, wow, that sounds fucking great. Like, fuck this setup, you know? I mean, I don't mind it, but it does get a little bit annoying. So, yeah, Aubrey Edwards. You know, listen, are we just like, let me ask you all this. You don't have to write anything, something to think about. Did we just get numb about Aubrey Edwards, or has she gotten better? I'm being serious. You don't have to answer that. Just think about that for a minute. Like, you know, I mean, she still goes like she's surfing in, you know, in the ocean. You know, I still see some reactions here and there, but I think she might have dialed it back a little bit, you know. Or is it that we just got numb, that we've seen it so many times we don't even pay attention anymore? It's like, man, I don't want to use this example. I don't want to use it. All right. It's like someone with a disability. Not, you know, choose any disability you want. Hey, I have a disability from my car accident. So, you know, I should, but choose anything you want. And you've never seen it before. You don't laugh. It's not like Goldust in Evolution. You know, I'm going to get you. No, I'm not saying that. But when you see someone that has like MS or someone that has, you know, some type of physical disability and you've never seen it before, like you're just like taken back, like, wow, you know, like, oh my God, you know, you're not used to it. Then after a couple of months, you see that person. Hey, what's going on, Frank? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? And you don't even notice it anymore. And I'm saying this in a complimentary way. You know, like you see something that you don't normally see and you're taken back by it. You know, somebody that has three eyes, somebody that has 19 fingers, you know, somebody that has, you know, some issue about them. Somebody that has a fucking big giant tattoo on their face. Look at Mike Tyson. Look at Mike Tyson with his tattoo. When Mike Tyson first got that tattoo, every time you looked at him, you just saw the tattoo. Now when you look at Mike Tyson, you don't even think about the tattoo anymore. You know, so I think after a while, you get a little bit numb to what Aubrey Edwards does. So, yeah, that's a lot of people in my neighborhood, Chaos. No joke. Hey, Anthony, how you doing? My neighborhood, it's Anthony. Nobody calls me Tony. Nobody dare calls me Don. Howard Beach, you're going to call me Donnie. Crazy? You know, I mean, you know, yeah, you only call Dons. Unless my first name really was Don. That's how I know when I get fake emails. You have no idea how many emails I get for advertising. You know, like, what is that? when you work together. What's that called when you work together? Oh, not commingling. What's the term when people like they like? I don't remember. But I get so many emails, collaborations. Thank you very much, Kevin. I get emails about collabs, and how I know most of the time they're fake or it's someone that really doesn't know me. They'll say, good afternoon, Don, Mr. Tony, you know, or they'll say it like that. I mean, and it's not, you could tell when someone, you know, because some of you say, hey, Don, what do you think is going to happen with that? You know, people say it because of the nickname, but when you get this professional email from like Nautilus, good afternoon, Don. We would like to, we'd like you to advertise our product. Mr. Tony, we believe it's a good idea and this is that. And I'm like, you don't even know my fucking name. You know, it's pretty funny sometimes when you see some of the things I get. And there's people in wrestling that do that too. You know, they're like, Don. And I'm like, don't call me Don. You know, oh, okay. What should I call you then? And I'm like, okay. So you don't know. You don't know anything about me. So, all right. 5 minutes and we'll get a jet out of here. All right. Kevin is asking, if I were pegged to a book to face Tito Santana in his prime versus Ricky Steamboat, would I have one creatively turn heel for the angle's sake? If Tito Santana took on Ricky Steamboat, let's say in the middle 80s. You could go there. Ricky Steamboat was around beforehand. Ricky Steamboat was in his 70s, so was Tito. Let's go middle 80s. Would I turn either one of them heel? If I had to turn one heel, I would turn Tito Santana heel. I think Tito Santana would probably have an easier job turning heel. Ricky Steamboat, there was just something about Ricky Steamboat. You don't turn heel. You know, it's just... It's like you don't turn Alberto El Patron babyface. You know, you don't turn Miz. Even though you want to know something, Miz is going to have a babyface run in the next year and a half. Miz is going to have a babyface run. And I'm telling you, it's going to work. You've heard me for years, and I'm a fan of the Miz for a long time. I got to meet the Miz when they were still doing Tough Enough. And trust me, you don't, you know someone after meeting them once. But the impression I got was, man, that guy fucking really, really is taking this shit seriously. Yeah, he was naive and immature at times, but I'm a fan of Miz. I'm telling you, for years I said, you don't turn that guy babyface. But as he gets in the latter stages of his career, that motherfucker is going to cut a respect promo and going to get a pop from the crowd. That guy's going to turn babyface. But you do not turn Ricky Steamboat heel. You do not turn him heel. Twix is asking me my thoughts on Solomonster as the new commissioner of House of Glory. I love it. I love it, man. Good for him. Seriously. I had so much fun being an on-air character for the indie wrestling that I had the opportunity for. You know, I had the opportunity for 4 different feds. Well, I never got to do anything XPW, obviously. That was just behind-the-scenes stuff. But VPW... Jersey All Pro, Fat Frank's rookie promotion. What was it? Jersey Championship. I don't remember what he called it at that time. Obviously, Frank Goodman, USA Pro, UXW. And for a brief cup of coffee, FTW. It was Fuck the World Wrestling, and then they changed it to Fight the World Wrestling because they were getting a lot of negativity. I will never forget. I don't share this often, but I know this fucking guy has got the footage out there. When FTW, that pro wrestling promotion, first formed here in New York, we did skits at my parents' beach house before it was even completely built. If you ever saw the Goodfellas pose with me, Jay Lover, and Grim Reefer, that we filmed at our house. The Deli Man stuff, that was filmed in my parents' beach house. We did segments where the Purple People Beater Eater or something like that. It was a superhero character that weighed 90 pounds. This guy looked like he would have ran after Trevor Murdoch's motorcycle if he had a bucket of chicken strapped in the back. He was an Irish guy, weighed 100 pounds, and he wore a cape, and he ran across Rockaway Beach. And we were filming it from my parents' house, and we did a segment where Jay Lover was feuding with this guy. And there's a match with me managing Jay Lover against this guy, and it's one of my favorite moments. It was on YouTube. They pulled it. I don't know if they pulled it because I liked it, and I was so happy that it was on. I should have capped it, and I didn't. But my point is, we did this whole skit where Jay Love is in my house, and I'm in my bathroom, and I'm shaving and everything, and Jay Love is like, hey, how you doing? Or I said to him, like, hey, Jay, how you doing? Listen, I'm a wreck. Everywhere I look, I see this purple beater fucking eater or whatever. And we did this skit where, you know, he would look away for a second, and then here's the purple fucking guy shaving the mask with the shaving cream. And Jay Lowe's, what the fuck? And then he looks back, and I'm like, are you all right? What the fuck's wrong with you? Snap out of it. We had so much fun, man. So I loved doing that stuff. There's so much out there that I haven't seen the footage since it first aired. So Jason doing something on camera, good for him, man. Good for him. I hope he knocks it out of the park. I hope it bites him in the ass, and I hope he gets that bug, bites him, and he just gets hooked on doing that. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm very, very happy for him. All right. Last two questions. First one from Gruss. What would a WWE look like if John Cena turned heel in the late 2000s? I don't think it would have mattered much. You know why it wouldn't have mattered much? Look at The Rock. The Rock was both heel and babyface. The Rock is still beloved, is still, you know, one of the greatest of all time. You look at Hollywood Rock when he was heel for certain points, and you look back on it, and nobody says, what would WWE look like if The Rock was babyface at that time? John said, I don't think the Make-A-Wish would have changed all that much. I think what I do believe would have happened, though, is I don't think John Cena would have ever shifted away from the kids. I think John Cena would have turned heel towards adult men, mostly adult men. I think John Cena would have always still showed the love for the kids. And for all these, you know, adults that, you know, crap on him for doing what he do to the kids, fuck you, screw you. I could see John Cena, it's almost like what Bret Hart was a babyface only for Canada. And or Bret Hart was still a babyface towards his fans in the United States that never, wavered on him. You know, Bret Hart's heel turn was very, very interesting at that time because it wasn't just 100%. Full-blown heel, you know, so it would have been tweaked a little bit. It wouldn't have been straight-up heel towards everybody. John Cena would not have been tearing up kids' signs and not, you know, it still would have been a kid, fan for the kids. All right, one last question for tonight. One last question. Let's see who's got a good one. Then we're going to jet out of here. So I hope everybody enjoys Raw tomorrow. We will see some progression with Brock Lesnar and Omos. We will see progression with Bray Wyatt and Bobby Lashley. Don't know of anything about Logan Paul being on the show tomorrow, but we will see more progression with the women. And if you didn't check out yesterday's show, you should. We really had an awesome show yesterday. I mean, they're all good. But yesterday, just every conversation clicked, and a lot of it actually will lead into tomorrow's Raw. So, I normally don't eat breakfast. I have coffee, and I usually have like an early lunch. So that won't be the last question. I mean, that would be kind of cheesy to get out of there. So, all right, last question. Brock versus Omos is going to be better than people think. Omos versus Braun Strowman in Saudi Arabia was a lot better than people thought. And let me tell you something. What do people... Listen, let me say this. Let's finish with Omos. I want to say this. Omos versus Brock Lesnar is not the match that I wanted at WrestleMania. I want to make that clear. I did not want to see that match. But I say this. What do you expect Omos to do even if he was great in the ring. The guy is a giant. Giants do giant things. You watch Omos versus Braun Strowman again. That match was very good. For their size and for what you expect out of them, the match was a lot better than people expected. If you get Omos, Saudi Arabia versus Braun Strowman, Omos, if you get that Omos taking on Brock Lesnar and WWE allows Omos to get some additional offense in that normal people would not against Brock. And the match, why? What else would you expect from there? You know, I think we got to give Omos the benefit of the doubt that, you know what, maybe this guy has improved. He shows signs of it in Saudi Arabia. Listen, if Saudi Arabia sucked, I would be 100% here saying, why are you doing this match? I mean, I understand Brock, you know, but why are you doing this match? But remember, this was Brock's decision. We said it the night the challenge was made. This was Brock's decision. This was Brock's decision. Brock has that power. People want to say, oh, that's Vince's call. And this, you know, maybe Brock did talk to Vince about it. There's nothing wrong with that. You may not like it, but there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm just saying, I didn't want that match, but we have that match. And I think it's going to be better than the way some people portray. You know what sucks about it? I will say this. I'm kind of mad that there's a lot of people out there hoping that it sucks. Because if it sucks, then they could use that as, you see, told you, it should have never happened. It was awful. This is Vince's fucking idea. Blah, 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 blah. The worst thing that could happen for those people is the match to be very good. Because then what do you say to that? So that's the thing that I fucking hate about it. That there are people out there who want the match to fail. I want to be entertained. Period. I don't want anything to fail. Why? So I could go on a rant and say, see, fucking Vince put his hand back into it. Fucking Vince. Vince. Remember what I said the other day? And I'm going to start keep saying it. And I'm going to say it so much that people are going to start going on Twitter and repeating it and not give me credit for it. Remember TNA many, many years ago? What was the hashtag that you kept seeing over and over and over again when things sucked in TNA? Blame Russo. Blame Russo. Blame Russo. Blame Russo. Blame Russo. It's the same thing again, only a different Vince. Instead of blame Vince as in Vince Russo, now it's blame Vince, Vince McMahon. Whenever something sucks to high and holy hell, it's blame Vince, but a different Vince. That's what this is turned into. And that sucks, in my honest opinion. So, all right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. See, we actually went 20 minutes longer than expected. We don't religiously have to go an hour, but we want to keep it around that time frame. So we ended up going a third more. So, again, I thank you as always for joining me. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. If you have anyone else out there you think would like the channel, let them know about it. For my friends on Patreon, I definitely look forward to seeing you all Tuesday live. It'll be a fun show. Majority of the show will be talking WrestleMania, a little preview, what we're looking forward to, what we're not looking forward to, what we think could happen, not could happen. And, you know, it'll be a fun show. And, you know, I'll be back here. Less, what, 24 hours from now? A little more, 25 and a half hours from now. I'll be here after Raw. So we'll talk about Raw. And, you know, one last thing I wanted to just point out to you. If you look at, for the last 2-3 weeks on YouTube, I tweaked the titles a little bit. And I think they're going to be that way from now on. Put the name of the show in the titles. Be easier to search them. I used to put like certain subjects of what we talked about in the titles almost as like as a attractive way to like get someone, hey, what is this guy talking about? And I realized that everybody and their mother does that. So people want to tune into Don Tony. Now, so you'll see the titles a little bit different. And that is something that I decided to do just to keep everything a little bit more organized. So much love, everyone. Thank you as always for the support. You know what? Before we go, I think I leave one out? Okay, I did leave a super chat out. somebody pointed out to my attention. Thank you very much, Rick. Johnny, theme parks and things with Johnny. With a $10 spot. Thank you, Johnny. Some fantasy booking. The return of Riddle on SmackDown or Raw. The Bloodline is beating down Kevin Owens, Cody, and Sammy. Then Riddle's music hits, evens the score, and we get Riddle and Solo at WrestleMania. That's part of what was going to happen. Solo Sikoa was going to get involved. Listen, I don't know exactly what match. Roman Reigns was going to be going at it with somebody. And Solo Sikoa was going to be the only person at ringside. And I always thought it maybe it would have been Elimination Chamber. But remember, Raw in Brooklyn was before the Chamber. But something was going to happen where Solo Sikoa was the only person at ringside with Roman Reigns, not the Usos. And Solo Sikoa was going to get involved in a match. Riddle's music would have hit. Riddle would have chased Solo Sikoa away, started beating on him, doing whatever he's doing. And that would have negated Solo Sikoa. The outcome wouldn't have been any different. Roman Reigns would have still ended up on top. But the thing is that Roman cannot depend on Solo Sikoa anymore because of what went down. I still think Solo Sikoa will be the only person at ringside other than Paul Heyman. Unless WWE decides last minute, put Solo Sikoa on Raw. Look, it could still happen. But I think incorporating Riddle 2-3 weeks, less than 3 weeks before Mania is awfully close. If they don't want, let me say it like this, let you think about this. If they don't want Solo Sikoa ringside for Roman versus Cody, you can't just have him not appear. Because there'll be enough fans who'll say, why isn't Solo Sikoa at ringside? And you don't want the Roman tell Solo, you stay back here. I got this. You don't want that. So if you want a specific reason why Solo is not at ringside for Roman versus Cody, then you have Riddle. You reintroduce Riddle. And he takes on Solo Sikoa at Mania. I still think we're going to get 2-3 more matches. And even though Rey and Dom is not official yet, I think we're still going to get 2 or 3 more matches added that we really haven't talked about all that much. So let's see what happens. But it's not a bad idea, Johnny. I definitely like the idea. I think what it comes down to is, do they want Solo at ringside for Roman versus Cody? If Solo is at ringside for that match, Riddle could show up at Mania. That would be an interesting moment that Solo Sikoa, you know, like Cody is laid out. Solo Sikoa, you know, is about to do something, and then Riddle's music hits. Riddle runs down to the ring, takes out Solo Sikoa. That leaves Roman all by himself. I don't know if they want to do that asterisk. It wouldn't necessarily be an asterisk when you think about it, but, you know, you don't want anybody to be like, oh, Roman lost because, you know, interference. And the opposite. They don't want that with Roman winning either. So, all right, I'm out of here. Much love as always. Thank you all for joining me for tonight. For everybody on the replay, much love to you as well. And I will hope to see you soon, maybe as soon as right after Raw. 11.05 p.m. Eastern. Much love, everybody. Be well. Take care. Stay safe. Have a good one.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today, everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.